This is Tape 2, Side 1, reading the Small Talk Plus Owner's Manual. Continuing Section 2.3, the Editor, on page 3-6. The LCD screen should be thought of as showing one of the lines in the text at a time. This line of text probably is wider than the 20 characters possible on the screen, but there are four rows of 20 columns each available to show a line of text. So think of the screen as showing virtually one line of text broken into a number of 20 column rows. Don't be bothered by the way in which the words are split on the screen. They are not split in the text. Anytime you want the line of text that you're currently working with to be read aloud, type the command Ctrl-L. The L stands for line review. The entire line will be read no matter where the cursor is located. This line reviewing doesn't move the cursor. When you have finished typing in the poem, this is what you should have. Mary had a little lamb. Would you like to have the entire poem read back to you? The Ctrl-S command will read all of the text that you've entered so far. The Ctrl-S command will actually read a maximum of 20 lines of text up to the current line shown on the screen. If you don't hear the entire poem, move your cursor down to the end of the text and try again. The S stands for screen review. It doesn't matter where the cursor is when you type Ctrl-S. Like Ctrl-L, this function does not move your cursor. Let's go on with the show. We're going to save the many sophisticated editing features for the next section of this manual. For now, let's go back to the main menu. You leave the editor by pressing another special key. This key is called the Escape key. It is located on the row of keys above the Home row, just over the Return key. Notice that there are two keys that are larger than normal. The last two keys on the far right. Page 3-7. The inner of these two is the escape key. The key is marked with two arrows, one pointing to the left and the other pointing straight up. You can think of the escape key as your way out of something you've gotten into, your escape. We're now ready to select from the listed options. 2.4, printing. Printing with Smalltalk Plus is easy. By default, the WordTalk word processing program will use the microprinter when told to print. We'll tell you how to use full-size external printers in Section 9. From the main menu, select P equals Print. Remember that only a single letter is needed to make a menu selection. The Print menu is shown below. Print. D equals Device. P equals Parms. R equals Range. G equals Go. Yes, another menu. Use a spacebar to hear all the options. Notice G equals Go on the print menu. To begin printing, simply switch on the printer and then select the G equals Go option. As you've now seen, printing begins immediately when the G equals Go option is selected. As shown on the as soon as the printing has finished, you'll again be read the print menu title. Grab the paper that has been fed out of the printer and pull about a half an inch or so out, and then pull the paper towards you and to the side across the tear bar. Don't bother with the paper feed button. It is just used when loading a new roll of paper. You needn't waste your batteries. Just be sure not to pull the paper when the printer is running, as this could damage the printer. That's it. You're a complete success. Press the escape key to return to the main menu. Page 3-8. Remember that you got to the print menu from the main menu. So, with the escape key, you can get back out to where you came from. You'll always use the escape to return to the previous menu in WordTalk. 2.5 Summary. Congratulations! In following this tutorial, you've learned how to bring a session with WordTalk. You've learned how to begin a session with WordTalk, your built-in word processor, and how to create a print text. Think about these new control characters you've learned for commanding the editor, and how the escape key is used as an exit. You've learned all the basic moves. Section 3, Editor Tutorial, page 3-9. 3.1, Introduction. This tutorial is going to focus on the many features of the editor. You'll be learning about moving around with the cursor, as well as inserting and deleting text. Along the way, we'll be elaborating on some of the finer points of using WordTalk. 3.2, Initializing Memory. Back in Section 2, we created and printed a poem. The poem is still in Smalltalk Plus's memory. We want to start a new writing project, so the poem has to go. On the main menu, you'll see the I equals initiate option. Go ahead and select this option. It will clear everything out of Smalltalk Plus's memory, and we can start fresh. Since it could be devastating if you typed initiate accidentally and lost your work, we've provided some protection. Whenever you select this option, you are asked for confirmation. You'll be prompted, sure, yes or no. If you are sure, type Y. Anytime you want to clean out the memory, you can use this option. 3.3, entering the editor. Remember, you can enter the editor from any menu. Just press the return key instead of selecting from the list of options offered. When you enter the editor, the cursor will return to the position that you left it in the last time you were editing and announce the character landed on. Here, since we're starting fresh, we'll land in the first position available for typing. The default position is column 1, line 1, on page 1. In effect, you're at the beginning of a new page. Page 3-10. 3.4, write a letter. Let's type a letter and format it nicely for an external printer. We'll pretend that this is a letter to Mother. Because we plan to print this letter on a full-size sheet, the first thing that we'll do is set the margins differently from the defaults used for the micro printer. Margins and other formatting concerns are dealt with by the Format menu. From the main menu, select the F equals Format option, and here's what you'll get. Format. L equals length, S equals spacing, T equals tabs, M equals margins. Since for purposes of this example, we're assuming that our paper is going to be standard 8.5 by 11 inches, and that we'll be using Pica type, then the thing to do first is to set the length of paper to be equal to 66 lines. Select the length L equals length option. You'll be prompted for a new value. L equals 24. Type in 66 right over the old value and then press the return key. That's all there is to setting new values. Now let's go to the margins menu and enter the new values for each of the four margins. From the format menu, select M equals margins. You'll get the following menu. Margins. L equals left, R equals right, T equals top, B equals bottom. Okay, go ahead and select each margin individually yourself, giving 6 for the top, 61 for the bottom, 10 for the left, and 76 for the right. This setup will produce a page with 1-inch margins on all four sides. Setting up various formats will be covered in greater detail in Section 8. Now, let's enter the editor and begin the letter. We'll type the date on the first line. As an example, type February 8, 1985. After the date is typed, press the return key to go down to the beginning of the next line. Here type, Janet Anderson, 123 Sunny Lane, Miami, Florida, 30303. Press return at the end of each line, then type in the salutation. Dear Janet, then again, press return at the end of the line. Now we'll begin the letter. Press the tab key once to indent the new paragraph. The tab key will move the cursor across the line of text that you're currently on to the next successive tab stops. Each time it is pressed, the cursor moves right 1 tab stop. Tab stops are set by default first at column 4, then every 5 columns after that, 9, 14, 19. The tab key is located at the left end of the second row of keys. It is slightly wider than the standard key and is within the reach of the small finger of the left hand. Now, type the following short letter, letting the program word wrap as needed. Just a short note to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. I hope that this note finds you in good health. Everyone here is fine and sends their love. I'll talk with you soon on the phone. Now for the closing, type Love, Bill. There we have it, a very nice letter. To have this letter read aloud, use Ctrl+S for screen review. Since this letter is less than 20 lines, the Ctrl+S review feature will read us the whole thing. This is a good way to review your work. The reading over can help you catch contextual problems before you get into fixing typos. Don't forget your Ctrl+X momentary silence command. Try it after using the screen review command to stop and restart the voice. Page 3-12, section 3.5, moving around in the text. Let's go up to the beginning and look this letter over more closely. The point we started is known as the beginning of file. You know that a collection of information is often called a file. In this case, the file is the text that is in Smalltalk Plus's memory. We want to go to the beginning of this file. To move to the beginning of file directly, you can hold the command key down and then type the Control K command. Finally, release all three keys. The command key is unique to Smalltalk Plus. WordTalk uses this key to enhance the functions of other key commands. You used it before with the calculator for help mode. The command key is similar to Shift and Control in that it does nothing unless it is used in conjunction with some of the other key or keys. You must hold it down while you type the other key or keys. The command key is located just left of the long space bar on the bottom row of your keyboard. It is labeled GRPH. It can be reached with the thumb of your left hand. The cursor commands each have an enhanced function that is invoked by using them in conjunction with the command key. As you've just seen, the command key and Control K is the command to go to the beginning of your file. You can also go directly to the end of the file. Just use the command key in conjunction with Control J. Try it. Try going to the beginning of the file and using Control A to hear the address. Then go to the end of the file and again check the address. When you're at the top line, use the Control L line review command and you'll hear the date that you typed in earlier. On the bottom line, again use the Control L command for reading of the closing. Page 3-13. Here's some more magic with the command key and cursoring. Let's go back to the beginning of the file. This is a line with the date. You could move your cursor over to the year eventually by front spacing with the Control U command. Try this. Press the command key down and hold it down while pressing the Control U. The cursor will jump to the first character of the next word, in this case the 8. Also, the word itself will be read. This command is called frontword. Using the frontword command again, and you will move to the next word, the 1 of 1985. These numbers are considered to be words, since they are separated by blank spaces from other words. Now watch closely to what happens when the frontword is used again. Go ahead and try it. The down tone sounds to say that your cursor went down to the beginning of the line below to look for the next word. Once there, it found Janet, the first word on the new line. And as it will, the cursor will be positioned on the first character of the word. In addition, the word will be voiced. What do you think the command key with the Control H backspace command will do? That's right, backward. Try it. You'll see that it is the exact reverse of the front word. Backward will also wrap to the previous line looking for the next word back. Go ahead and play around with these new controls that you have learned that you have over the cursor. You can also use the return key to travel down through your letter, line by line. Moving in this way won't affect the text. When you press return, the cursor goes to the first position on the line below your current position. If there's anything on this new line, it'll be read aloud. Section 3.6, inserting, deleting, and erasing. Let's go back to the beginning of the file. From here, press the return key to move down to the beginning of the next line and read it. Here's the addressee's name. The letter would be nicer if it had a blank line separating the date from the inside address. Page 3-14. To insert a blank line here, type Control N for insert. The word insert will be spoken to verify the command. You'll see that the addressee's name and everything that followed it has been moved down a line. That's all there is to inserting a blank line. Let's do it again between the last line of the inside address and the opening. Move down to the opening. It doesn't really matter how you get there. When the Control N command is issued, the line you're currently on is pushed down along with the other text below it. It doesn't matter what column position you're in when you issue this command. Deleting lines is just as easy. Why not delete the line you just inserted? Type Control D, the D standing for delete. You'll hear the word delete voiced, verifying the command, and you'll hear the character on that line that's moved up under the cursor as the previous line is squeezed out into oblivion. So that's how you insert and delete entire lines. Now we'll show you two new commands that will allow you to insert and delete parts of lines. Let's move the cursor to the opening of this letter. With the Control U command, front space over the first word. You'll hear D in a slight higher pitch than EAR. Stop at the first space. The space is one that separates the two words. Now we want to add the characters EST to the end of dear, making it into dearest. If we just type in these characters right now, they would type over a portion of the name. First, we have to bump the space and the name that follows it over to give us room. This introduces the Control B, bump command. Type this command to bump your characters over under the cursor and all characters to the right of it on the line over one space. You have, in effect, just inserted a single blank character at the point of the cursor. Type Control B two more times so we have a total of three new spaces to write in. Then type EST. There we go. Use the Control L line review to hear the new opening. Sounds a little corny, doesn't it? Okay, let's get rid of the EST. We'll do this with the delete key. The delete key is located at the right end of the row just above home row. It is the outer of the two larger keys on this extreme right end. The delete key is labeled with a symbol showing two arrows. The bottom arrow is pointing to the right and the top arrow is pointing straight down. This key can be reached with a small finger of the right hand. Page 3-15. Okay, move the cursor left and onto the E of EST. This is the first character we want to delete. Now press the delete key. You'll hear the S voiced as it moves in with the rest of the line on the right to fill the vacancy left by the deleted E. Press the deleted key two more times until you hear the space move under the cursor. The three undesired characters are now gone. Do you really want to delete an entire word? Use the command key in conjunction with the delete key. When this combination is used, all the characters from the one under the cursor up to and including the first space after the current word will all be deleted. You'll hear the first character of the next word voiced as it moves in to the location of the cursor. Now here's a nice command for erasing a line of text, Control E, with the E, of course, standing for erase. When this command is issued, the character under the cursor, along with the characters that are to the right of it on the line, will be erased, wiped out completely. Try it yourself on the opening. Please retype it after you're done. Now, let's take a minute to review. All the new commands in this topic are line-oriented. This means that they do not change the organization of any lines except the one that you're working on. This is especially important to remember when bumping and deleting characters. When using the Control B bump command to open up a line to insert a forgotten character or two, there must be room on the line to accommodate these new characters. When the last character on the line reaches the right margin position, no more bumping can be done. Characters will not move down to the next line to give you room. There is another way to insert text that will let you do anything you want. We will learn about this function, cutting, in the next topic. Deleting characters with the delete key is also a line-oriented operation. Characters will not be pulled up from the line below. Deleting successive single characters will cause the line to become progressively shorter. You'll be pulling text together and filling holes in the next topic, where pasting will be covered. Page 3-16, section 3.7, cutting and pasting. You can relate cutting and pasting to cutting the text open for an insertion and then pasting it all back together when you're through. As an example, let's insert another sentence in between a couple of the existing ones. Use what you know about moving the cursor to position yourself over the I, which begins the last sentence. We want another new sentence to come before this last one. So what we'll do is cut the text apart at this point and type in the new sentence. To do this, type Control C, which stands for cut. You'll notice the I that the cursor was on, along with the rest of the line to the right of it, has been cut off and dropped down to the line below. Actually, a new line was inserted, and that beginning portion that we cut off was brought down onto it. Now you can go ahead and type in the following new sentence. We all wish we were there with you in Florida. Not all of the words of our sentence, of our added sentence, fit on that first line, so they were wrapped to subsequent lines. What happens to the text that was already down there? Nothing, except that it has all been pushed down and new blank lines were inserted to hold what was wrapped from above. The word wrap operation always inserts a new line to wrap on, so you don't have to worry about running into other lines as you insert text this way. You could continue typing in new text page after page. It doesn't matter how much. To rejoin the text we've cut, there's a paste command, Control-P. Of course, P stands for paste. You don't have to paste it if you don't want to, though. Cut and paste are often used together, but they each can be used independently at any time. But here, we want to. Immediately after you type the period and the two spaces that normally complete a sentence, use Control-P to paste the paragraph back together. You can paste any time you want to pull text together, maybe after an erasure or after deleting a word. When you paste, WordTalk looks for gaps beginning in the location of the cursor and continuing on through the end of the paragraph. If a gap is found, words will be pulled together, taking from the text on the next line down as necessary until there is a paragraph that fits properly within the margins. A paragraph, page 3-17. A paragraph, as far as the editor is concerned, is a passage of text that either begins with an indention or is separated by a blank line from the previous passage. The editor's pasting will not disturb text beyond the affected paragraph except to pull it up a line, if necessary, to fill up the line vacant from pasting. 3.8 Built-in Reference Card. Even though we've tried to make the editor commands as easy to remember as possible, there are a lot of them, and you might want to refer to a complete list from time to time. There is just such a list of editor options built right in. All you need to do is type Control-O, the O standing for option. Try it. A complete list of the editor's many options will immediately be listed on your screen and read aloud. When the reading is complete, you will be returned to your work right where you left off. That's all we're going to do in this session. Congratulations on successfully following along. 3.9 Summary. We've covered a lot of new ground in this section. Here you used the editor and wrote a letter. Then you learned how to move around with the cursor commands. Next you did some inserting, deleting, erasing, cutting, and pasting. Lastly, we told you about the built-in reference. Section 4, Editor Extras, page 3-18, section 4.1, Introduction. In this section, we'll discuss some additional features of the editor. These features are somewhat miscellaneous, but each is a valuable asset that you're ready for. Sit back and relax if you want to. We're going to spend a few minutes just talking, but be prepared. There will be another interactive example in the last topic. 4.2, go to scrolling. When in the editor, you can go directly to any position in your document that you desire. Here is how it works. When you type Control-G, you will be prompted where. If you want to go to page 2, then type P2 and press the return key. The first line of page 2 will immediately be displayed on your screen, and your cursor is placed in the first column of that line. If you want to go to line 40 on this page, then you would type Control-G again, and when prompted, enter L40, and again press Return. Line 40 will be brought on your screen, and your cursor will land on the first column of that line. Lastly, we can go to any column you want. When prompted, type a C followed by a number. Your cursor will move right over, and as usual, the character that came under the cursor will be announced. In general, you can go directly to any position. To go to a page, precede that page's number with the letter P, which stands for page. To go to a line, precede the desired line number with the letter L, with the L standing for line. Finally, to go to a specific column, precede the column number with the letter C, standing for column. page 3.19. 4.3, more on tabbing. You know that you can use a tab key to move across a line to any desired stop. You can move backwards to the previous stop too. We call this back tab. Press your tab key a few times just to move it out to the right of distance. Now, press the command key and while holding it down, press the tab key. Do it a second and third time. You can go all the way back to the left margin. You can set the tab stops any way you choose. This is done through the tab menu and will be covered in detail in Section 8. Another special tab command is Control T or Express Tab. This command will move the cursor all the way to the right margin. Sometimes you can get to something faster by starting at the end and working in. The reverse of Express Tab is Express Back Tab. Yes, by typing Control Y, you can move directly to the left margin of your line. It might help you to remember the Express Tab and the Express Back Tab if you relate them to the motion of your hands when typing them. To Express Tab, the index finger on your left reaches out to the right and toward the right margin. When you use an Express Back Tab, the index finger on your right hand reaches left and toward the left margin. Section 4.4, Centering a Line. There's a command that's just for centering the line you're on. Control W will center the line that you're currently on by dividing the empty spaces on the line and centering the text in between. It doesn't matter which column the cursor is in when this command is issued. Page 3-20. The total amount of space that's available on a line is determined by the way the left and right margins are set. Section 4.5, Find and Replace. Let's go back to that letter that we wrote in the last section. Remember we said that the letter we wrote was for Mother? We called her Janet. This has to be fixed. Fortunately, we have a computer that can find the word Janet everywhere we used it in this note for us. We'll go a step further and have the beast corrected for us too. Find Janet and replace it with Mother. Before we start to do the replacement, you must make sure you have your cursor at the beginning of the file. You can do this by pressing Command, Control K. The find only searches from the cursor position to the end of the document. By moving the cursor to the top, you will ensure WordTalk to find each occurrence of the target string. To find and replace features work together with the Edit menu. Let's take a look at the Edit menu. From the main menu, type E. The Edit menu will come forward as illustrated below. Edit. Find. F equals find. R equals replace. B equals block. We'll begin by selecting the F Find option offered here on the Edit menu. When this option is selected, WordTalk will prompt you for the target of your search. In this case, it is Janet. Type in Janet and press return. It doesn't matter if you use upper or lower case or mix or any mix when entering the target. The case of the letters isn't considered at all. A second prompt appears after you have completed entering the target. This one wants to know if Janet is a substring. No, Janet's a whole word, not just part of a larger one. A substring is a series of characters that are going to be found directly attached to the other characters around it. The JA of Janet would be a substring, so would be an E. If we were to search with a substring of AN, we would eventually find Janet since it contains a series of characters. But we might also find the word Ann, and, Susan, sandwich, and who knows what else. It is usually better to specify as many characters as possible when searching for a substring. It will help to make the target more unique, and it will look through text even faster. After replying to the substring, prompt with an N for no, and you'll once again be presented with the Edit menu. While we're here, select the R equals replace option, another prompt. This one asks for the replacement to be used. In this case, we want each occurrence of Janet to be replaced with Mother, so type in Mother in response to this prompt. Here, the case of which you enter is important. The characters given as a replacement will be used literally, so you might want to capitalize M and leave the rest in lowercase. As always, press the return key to complete your entry. Now you'll be asked if this replace option is to be global, meaning that you want the program to go off on its own and find every occurrence of Janet and replace it with Mother. No user intervention required. Type Y for yes. Take a breath. The job is done. When it's finished, you'll again get the edit menu. How's that for automation? It happened that quickly. The program went off and found all the Janets and replaced them with Mother and was back before you missed it. The cursor must be at the top of the file in order to do a global find and replace. Otherwise, only the occurrences that fall below the cursor position will be found. Whoops, the address line isn't right now. Mother Anderson just isn't quite right. That's the trouble with the global replace. You don't get the opportunity to use your own discretion. The mindless machine just did what we told it, and it should have known better. Let's start over. Again, select F equals find from the edit menu. This time, when asked for the target, type in Mother. Then say no to the substring prompt. Select R equals replace, and enter Janet as a replacement. This time say no to the global question. We'll do the replacing ourselves. Okay, we'll enter the editor and do these one at a time. First, we use Command Key Control K combination to go to the home position. We want to start at the top. Now, to find the first occurrence of the target, type Control F for find. Page 3-22. The cursor will go to the first character of the target line when it is found and voice this character. Use your Control L line review command to hear it. Mother Anderson just doesn't sound right. So let's correct it. Now to make the replacement, type Control R. There you go. Mother will be taken out and Janet will be put in. Now use Control F for find and you'll see the next one. Dear Mother, we'll leave alone. Your human judgment has triumphed. When using Control R, if you move the cursor off of the line that contains the found target and then try using Control R command to replace it, you'll get an error tone. Since you've moved the cursor off of the line, the program forgot that you just found a target, so it doesn't know what to replace anymore. If this happens to you, just move the cursor back to the first character of the target. Here's an idea for find and replace. Imagine you had to write a lengthy report. Suppose that in this report you had to use the title Electronic Word Processing over and over. To make the job a little easier, you might use ** instead of the title when it is called for in your report. The double asterisks are just placeholders that later can be found and replaced with the completed phrase. Just enter ** as the target and respond no to the substring prompt. Then enter Electronic Word Processing as the replacement. Finally, when asked if the replacement is to be global, say yes. Each occurrence of the two asterisks will be found, deleted, and the complete replacement phrase will be fitted in. The last thing to know about finding and replacing is that you can use all of the numbers, letters, and punctuation marks on the keyboard in the target and in the replacement. The entries can be made up to 60 characters each. Also, you can use spaces at the beginning or in the middle. Section 4.6, Summary. We learned many additional features of the editor in this section. We covered the go-to command, more on tabbing, centering lines, home row cursor, control, and how to find and replace. Page 3-23, Section 5, Block Operations. 5.1, Introduction. Block operations refer to those features provided by WordTalk to allow you to move, copy, and delete large passages of text. You might want to move a paragraph in your document to an entirely new location. Moving paragraphs is easy, as you'll see. Any series of characters in the text can be considered to be a block of text. A block can be as large as 8,100 characters or as small as a single character. Block operations are selected from the block menu. To get there, select E equals Edit from the main menu, then B equals Block from the Edit menu. The Block menu is shown below. Block. M equals Mark, C equals Copy, D equals Delete, W equals Write. 5.2, Marking the Block. The first thing that must be done to begin a block operation is to mark the beginning of it. WordTalk needs to know where the beginning and the end of the block that you want to manipulate are. Most block options require that you first mark the beginning of the passage before operating on it. This is done using the editor. Just move your cursor to the first character that you want included in the block. Then use the escape key to leave the editor and go to the block menu. Now it's just a matter of selecting M equals mark from the menu. WordTalk will then take note of the position of the cursor and mark the text. Let's say that you want to delete a paragraph. First, you would mark the beginning of the paragraph as discussed above. Next, you would return to the editor and move your cursor to the end of the paragraph that you want to delete. Finally, use the Escape key to return to the block menu and select D equals delete. Page 3-24. The block marked with text will immediately disappear. You'll see that your text has been relieved of the paragraph and put together again as if the paragraph was never there. You can see from the example that the M equals mark option only shows the beginning of a block. After moving the cursor to the end of the desired block, the D equals delete section selection saw the new position of the cursor as marking the end and proceeded to delete the complete defined block. Section 5.3, deleting. In the preceding example, we showed you how to delete a block of text. It's a simple matter of moving your cursor to the beginning of the passage you want to delete, selecting M equals mark from the block menu, and then moving your cursor to the end of the passage and selecting D equals delete from the block menu. This will remove all the characters beginning with the one under the cursor when you marked, and ending with the one under the cursor when you deleted. The text deleted in a block operation is not lost. It is still available to you. The entire passage has been saved in a special area of memory. This reserved memory is known as the block buffer. Since the text you delete this way is saved in the buffer, you can use the text somewhere else if you want. The buffer will continue to hold what was selected until some new block operation saves something new in it. Deleting a block is the first step in moving text, as you'll soon see. Section 5.4, copying. Copying a block of text is similar to deleting one. In both cases, you need to mark the beginning and move the cursor to the end. The difference is that selecting C equals copy does not remove the characters from the document. The passage is left alone. It is just copied into the block buffer so that you can use it later. Page 3-25, Section 5.5, Writing. Here is the real power of block operations. Any passage of text that has been either deleted or copied from your text can be written back into the text at any location you want. Simply move your cursor to the position that you want the characters in the block buffer to start going and select W equals Write from the block menu. The entire contents of the buffer will be inserted into your existing text beginning at the current location of the cursor. You can write the contents of the buffer into the text as many times as you like. Section 5.6, Moving Text. Moving a passage of text is a simple two-step procedure. First, delete the block of text that you're moving. As discussed earlier in this section, the passage deleted from your text has been saved in the block buffer. So, to complete the move, just reposition your cursor at the point where you want the passage moved to. The last step is to write the contents of the buffer into this new location using the W equals write option. 5.7, Summary. This section told you all about marking, deleting, copying, and moving whole blocks of text. You also learned about a special area of memory used to save blocks of text for later use. Page 3-26, Section 6, Format Operations. Section 6.1, Introduction. Documents come in all shapes and sizes. The many different formatting possibilities are a cinch for WordTalk. Margins, spacing, and the length and width of your pages can be completely controlled. WordTalk will allow for a maximum of 80 characters per line and pages that are up to 255 lines long. Tab stops are also useful for arranging text. You can set virtually any number of them. In this selection, you'll learn all about controlling the format of your text. Section 6.2, Overview. Let's take a minute to talk about formatting in general terms. One of the first things to consider when choosing a particular format is the physical dimensions of the paper you're using. As an example, let's look at a standard 8.5 by 11 inch sheet of paper. The number of lines that can be printed in 11 inch depends on throw.
Throw is usually 6 lines per inch for pica type and 8 lines per inch for elite type. Let's use pica type. That means that 66 lines are possible on our pages. 6 lines per inch times 11 inches. So the length of the page is now known to be 66. Next, we'll consider pitch. Pitch refers to the number of characters that can be printed in an inch across the page. Pica type is 10 pitch, and elite type is 12 pitch. Sticking with pica type for this example, we can multiply the 8.5 inches of width times 10 characters per inch to arrive at 85. So we can have up to 85 characters per line. Now, what about the margins? You surely want to have some blank space surrounding the text on the page. For purposes of this example, let's use 1-inch margins all around the page. The top margin will then be 6 lines, and the bottom margin will also be 6 lines. Remember that our page can be a maximum of 66 lines. So subtracting the top and bottom margins from the total leaves us with 54 lines to type on. 66 minus 12 equals 54. This is the end of side 1 of tape number 2. The Small Talk Plus Owner's Manual will continue on side 2.